All right, Generous Church. We're in the third week of a series that we're calling Generous Church. We've been talking about the grace of God and how He generously provides for our needs, and He does that so that we have what we need to live, but He also provides for us so that we can be a blessing and encouragement to others. And God is generous. We certainly know and believe that. And as the hands and feet of Jesus, that means then we can be a generous church, but it takes generous people, right, in order to have a generous church. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about the grace of God working in and through our lives and how His grace really becomes kind of that fuel and that motivation for us behind our generosity. Last week, our Carmel campus pastor, Jerry, talked about generosity with your time and the way you serve and the way you care for other people and the difference that that makes. And he'll be back next week to help us understand how we can be generous with our words and with our encouragement. And that's kind of timely too, right? Because with Thanksgiving coming, you're going to be spending some time with some people that you love and sometimes that you work really hard to love. And so we can all see how our words and encouragement can be really important. But today, I want to talk with you about generosity and how that impacts our financial resources. And let me say this, I have friends that work for other churches, people that I love. We get together from time to time. We talk ministry, talk about things that are going on, just questions that we might have. One of the questions that comes up once in a while is, do you talk about money at your church? Do you talk about things like generosity? And I'm always surprised at how many people don't talk about it. That churches just say, you know, we're not going to touch that. That's too emotional. It's too controversial. It makes people a little uncomfortable. Maybe how it's making some of you uncomfortable this morning, you know. But, you know, some churches avoid the conversation. We like to talk about it at Genesis. We believe this is an important part when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. And we know that Jesus, He talked about money and possessions and how we manage those more than anything else. And so we talk about it because Jesus thought it was important, and especially, well, for any of us that want to follow Jesus. But here's the thing, of all the things that keep us from growing, of all the things that stand in the way of you and me fully surrender to Jesus Christ, I mean, isn't it true that money more times than not is often at the very top of the list? Writer Philip Yancey says this about money and the conversation and Bible and all that. He says, you know, many Christians have one issue that haunts them and never falls silent. He says, for some it's sexual identity. For others it's a permanent battle against doubt. He says, the issue that haunts me is money. It hangs over me. It keeps me off balance, restless, uncomfortable, and nervous. He says, I feel that pulled in opposite directions over the money issue. And he goes on to say, mostly I wish that I didn't have to think about money at all, but I must somehow come to terms with the Bible's very strong statements about money. And here's something that's true. We all have a relationship with money. Every single one of us, whether we like it or not, I mean, we all have to deal with and manage and think about and make decisions regarding money each and every day. The question is, what kind of relationship will you have with it? Because more times than not, it's money that holds us back. It certainly holds me back. It influences our emotions, and it demands things like our time and attention and ways, really, in unique ways that other things don't. And it keeps us from growing in our faith in God, and certainly from growing in our generosity too. But thankfully, this problem with misplaced faith and money and generosity is not unique to us. I mean, Christians were challenged by it 2,000 years ago too, and that's why the Apostle Paul talked about it. He addressed it and offered some words of wisdom and hope regarding the way we view and manage and think about money and how to grow in generosity. And so that's where I want to pick it up with you today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 6. If you've got a Bible with you, we'll put these words on the screen as well. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, and so maybe a little different than what you have, but just to mix it up a little bit. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says in verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, I grew up in Central Illinois. Central Illinois is not a lot different than Central Indiana, all right? They look the same, a lot of the same things that are happening. I grew up certainly in a very rural community, in a very rural town, and if you need some convincing at all, our town had a sweet corn festival every year, and a big part of the sweet corn festival was the cow chip throwing contest. And if you don't know what a cow chip is, I'll just tell you there's a difference between a steaming cow chip and a very dried out cow chip when it comes to the cow chip throwing contest. But my grandpa was a farmer. My uncle was a farmer. I could walk out the back door of where I lived as a kid and stand alongside the field and watch as my uncle, my grandpa harvested the soybeans and the corn every fall. And I loved riding in the combine. I loved taking rides in the truck to the elevator or just walking through the freshly cut fields. And so I used to say that I wanted to be a farmer one day, but God had other plans for my life. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to a group of people that knew a lot about farming. This was a very agrarian society. And so he draws from something that they know really well to make an important point, but he's not talking about farming practices. He's talking about money and giving and generosity. And what's his message? I think he's really saying two things, that when it comes to money, when it comes to trusting and generosity, that you can either live fearfully or selfishly and miss out on so many things that God has for you, or you can trust God, you can pursue obedience in all things, grow in generosity and giving, and encounter a God that is capable of exceeding all of our expectations. And many of you know this. I don't need to tell you this because you've already experienced it. You've learned it since you've started following Jesus, and you've made giving and generosity a part of your Christian life, and as a result, you've seen God provide for you in ways that you could never have imagined, and you've seen your faith grow because of it. And for those of you that give to Genesis, and there are many, many people that give to Genesis, you know the joy then, a special joy of celebrating lives changed and growing ministries and multiplication and people being sent out and new churches started and missions and missionaries that are being funded. And it's extra special for you because you can look and you can say, I've been giving. I help give to those things. And so if generosity and giving are a part of your life, like, you know there's nothing like it. Like, there's no better way to live. Well, as we discovered 2 weeks ago, the Apostle Paul has been writing to this church in Corinth, a church made up of people just like you and me, and he's encouraging them in a lot of things about their faith, about giving, and certainly how grace ought to be the motivation behind it. And in a previous letter to them that we know in our Bibles as 1 Corinthians, he's already discussed things like giving and tithing. And he's back at it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and he wants to illustrate his point by relating it to farming. And so he says, when it comes to life, again, when it comes to your faith and the way you manage your money, he says you can either live selfishly, you can live by your own plan, or you can give generously. You can live according to the Lord's ways. In fact, 4 times in 6 verses, Paul uses the word generous. It's a word that means to live open-handedly. It's a word that means that we're open-handed when it comes to things like giving and sharing. And as you've heard us explain these past couple of weeks, you can be generous in a lot of ways. There are any number of ways to be generous, but make no mistake, Paul's talking about generosity with our finances here. And in verse 7, he gets really pretty practical as he wants to help them see, and us too, what this looks like on a daily, weekly, regular sort of basis. Look at verse 7, if you would. Chapter 9, verse 7, 2 Corinthians. He says, "You must decide in your heart how much to give." Again, this isn't the first time Paul's addressed giving. In his first letter to them, chapter 16, he's already instructed the people and the church to give and receive an offering every week, much like we do here at Genesis. And now here he writes, though, very personally, you must decide. You must make a decision in your own heart how much you want to give regularly. And there are a couple of things, at least a couple of things that I see here. That first, Paul expects. It's just an expectation of his that every follower of Jesus is going to give and contribute financially. Like, he sees this as just a normal practice, a normal part of life. But something else interesting about this church in Corinth, it was full of all kinds of people. There were slaves, there were working class people, there were people with a lot of money and people that had a little bit of money. And so notice that Paul doesn't exclude anyone. He's thinking about every person of every age. And he says nothing about giving amount either. But something else he says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so Paul has in mind those who are willing, those who are ready, those who are hungry, which means then he could also say, and I think some of you will be relieved to hear this morning, that giving is your choice. It's a personal choice that you make, that you shouldn't give out of pressure, that you certainly shouldn't give out of guilt. Like, don't give if you don't want to. But Paul wants them to be prayerful. He wants them to be willing and enthusiastic about even their giving. He wants them to give out of faith and from the grace of God working in them. And man, it's got to come out of them. And he wants them, his expectation, his hope, his prayers, that they will do it cheerfully. And why is it so important to Paul? Why does he keep coming back to this over and over again? I think he knows something that some know, that I hope we all know and experience at some point in our life. That he knows that when it, that what generosity and trusting God in even greater ways, including as it impacts our finances, ultimately what it does for us and what it can do for our heart and faith and trust in Jesus. There's this great little book, maybe you've seen it, read it before, a book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. If you'd like to do some more reading on generosity and just looking for something to pick up, it's about that big and that thick. So if you like short books, I like books with pictures and big words, but if you like short books, it's a great book to read on this subject. And Randy Alcorn, he in this book, he just kind of describes the benefits of growing as a follower of Jesus in things like generosity. He writes this. And you might know this if you've seen this movie before, you know the story, that at the end of the movie Schindler's List, there's this heart-wrenching scene with Oscar Schindler, who bought from the Nazis the lives of many Jews, and Schindler looks at his car, and he looks at his gold pin, and he regrets that he didn't give even more money and possessions to save more lives, that Schindler, as Alcorn says, had certainly used his opportunity better than most, but in the end, Schindler longed for a chance to go back and regretted decisions that he didn't make otherwise. And I think we could all agree on this. I mean, I think as we think about our lives and, you know, think about coming to the end of our lives one day, like none of us wants to get to the end of life and regret decisions and choices that we should have made otherwise, things that we would have done differently. And so I pray this is true of you and for me and as a follower of Jesus, I want to make every effort to live faithfully and obediently for Jesus in all things. Like he wants to have leadership and influence over every area of our lives, including when it comes to things like money and generosity. And that's why we as followers of Jesus can trust the Word of God to guide us toward what is best and right when it comes to everything, including giving and generosity. And that's part of why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you back up, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, when he says, I want you to excel in the grace of giving. Paul was looking around this church of Corinth and seeing so many good things and encouraging them, like your prayers and the way you're changing your lives and the way that you treat others. But he says, I also want you to excel in the grace of giving. And he reminds us of the importance of that in chapter 9 too. And he's just learning this from Jesus. I mean, you study the life and the teachings of Jesus, like he desires for us to be generous people. He knows what it does for our heart and for our faith, and as we'll see in a moment, he knows what it can do for a church and the impact that a church can have even through their generosity. And so at Genesis, we're not shy about inviting people into a life of generosity. We believe Jesus calls us to a life of generosity, that it's something that he wants for our church, and that it's something that he wants for each and every one of us. And so this morning, I want to just get very practical with you for a few minutes and share with you something that we call around here the four steps of giving and generosity. These are four steps of giving and generosity that I found helpful. And again, if you've been around Genesis over the years, you've seen us share these. We've talked about these. Some of you have been growing. You're moving ahead because of the help of these. If you're new, or this is your first time with us, it's always great, right, when you show up for the first time and we're talking about giving. I met somebody this morning in the lobby. Yeah, this is our first Sunday. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, we always love when people come for the first time when we're talking about giving, but it's just something we talk about once in a while. Again, it's an important part of our life, and I figure, you know, we've talked about politics over the last few weeks and submission. Let's just throw giving in there, wrap up the year, and then we'll move on to other things. But I hope these steps that I've shared will just encourage you, that if there's any part of you that is saying, you know what, I'd love to do that. I'd love to grow in giving and generosity. I just don't know where to start. These might help, because when it comes to giving and generosity, you have to start somewhere. And there's no end to our growth in generosity either, because every day, every year, every month is an opportunity to trust God even more. And so part of what I'll say is just trust God with where you are right now. Take the next step and keep growing. But here it is. To those of you that want to get started in this journey of financial generosity, I want to invite you to think about it in a matter of a couple of steps. And the first one is this, to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a first-time giver. To take the first step of giving and become a first-time giver. What's a first-time giver? It's somebody who's never given before. Or maybe you haven't given in a long time. Maybe you gave to Genesis in the past, but it's been a long time since you've done that. A first-time giver is someone who decides to give their first financial gift to Genesis, and then you do it. You follow through with it. And why? Well, ultimately, what I hope is it's a response to the work of God, the grace of God in your life, that you're making a declaration of, this is the way I want to live, that I intend to live. And you're growing in your faith, but you're also encouraged by what you see happening around our church family, and so you want to be an active part in it. First-time giving is not about a particular amount, all right? This is between you and the Lord. But as the Apostle Paul said, you decide, you make a decision in your own heart what you intend to give. And that's my encouragement and my prayer for some of you today, that if you're not currently giving or haven't started yet, that you would decide to give your first gift back to God through Genesis, because it's a great way to act on your growing faith and align yourself really with our church family. John D. Rockefeller, probably heard his name before. It's on a whole bunch of buildings and projects, a very wealthy man who gave away millions of dollars over the years. He was one time asked the question, like, how have you been able to give away millions and millions and millions of dollars over your lifetime? He said this, I could never have given away millions if I didn't give the first dollar. The first dollar was where I started. It's how it began. There's an old Chinese proverb that says the longest journey begins with the first step that you take. And so first time giving is really a first step, because you got to start somewhere. And so decide to give your first gift. Maybe that's where you are. Do it today, or do it in the next couple of weeks, or before the end of the year. And you can do that a couple of ways. We talk about these every week. You can always give. You can give online. Very simple and secure way to do that. You can give using the giving boxes in the back of the room. If you ever have any questions about how this works and processes, there's some of that information on the website, or you can catch any of us from our staff. We'd be willing to help you with that. If you're willing but not yet ready, I want to invite you to start praying about our Christmas offering. Every year we take a special offering in the month of December, and then we give it all away, 100% of it, to ministry partners and missionaries locally around the world. A portion of that Christmas offering goes to support kids and students from our church that will go to camps and conferences that are going to change their lives this summer, and so that's a big part of it. Last year, we gave away over $175,000 through our Christmas offering, and it took a whole bunch of first-time givers to get to that. I mean, we couldn't have done it without those that were giving for the very first time, and so maybe that's your next step. We'll start talking about the Christmas offering in a couple of weeks. But some of you are ready for another step. The next step on this ladder is just what we call a consistent giver. And this is where you move beyond a gift here or there once in a while, and consistent giving becomes a practice in your life. And that means that you might choose to give weekly, but you can do it a couple of times a month, or really anything that works for you. And it could take some planning. All right, because you might need to step back. You might need to take a look at your budget and ask yourself, okay, what can I give, or what am I willing to give every month? But you start giving back to God through your church, much in the same way that you pay your mortgage, that you pay your lease, that you pay your phone bill, or you pay for Netflix. But don't just make a budgetary decision. I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider what this step looks like for you. And maybe it's an amount that's comfortable for you. Some of you might consider something that stretches you a little bit, because stretching can do good things for us. Like, I remember when I realized that if I'm going to keep running regularly, I'm going to have to start stretching regularly. And when I first started, I couldn't bend over and touch my toes. I couldn't even come anywhere close. But with some work, and with some time, I've gotten to a place I can actually reach down and I can grab the bottom of my feet, all right? But it took a little practice. You know, giving kind of works in the same way. It might sting for a while, all right? It can become, it feels a little uncomfortable, but the more we do it, the more we grow, and we're giving not just to give, but we're giving because we're trusting. We give because we want to grow in our faith and in our generosity, and we want to keep doing that as a church too. And so I want to challenge some of you today, And maybe you give once in a while, maybe you don't give at all, but you're ready. Would you be willing to consider and take this important step and give consistently back to God through Genesis and start today, or start in December, or start at the beginning of the year? You can always go online. You can set up a recurring gift, which makes it very easy. But if anything, try it. At least try it for a few months. Give yourself 3 months and see what you see in your life. The third step is to become an intentional giver. What distinguishes consistent giving with intentional giving? Intentional giving means we're beginning to think about what we give and think about that more and more in our relation to God. It means we're starting to realize that everything we have is a gift from God, and not just the amount that we give or choose to give, but all of it. And so we're doing everything that we can to be sure that our intentional giving reflects that. Intentional giving means we're beginning to see how giving really is the most important thing that we do, and it's becoming a priority for us. And when you get to this step, you know, you can't help but wonder, like, why is it that Ticketmaster is getting more of my money than Jesus is? Or we get to this step and we wonder, like, why am I giving more to my iPhone and similar things than I'm giving back to Jesus? And sometimes it's helpful to think about intentional giving in light of a biblical term called tithe. You've heard the word tithe before. The word tithe is just simply a mathematical term that means tenth. And we don't have time to get into this today, but the idea of the tithe goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Jesus talked about the tithe and encouraged his followers to give a tithe. And I don't think that the tithe is law or requirement for us as Christians anymore, but I do think it's a great starting point. I think it's a great target or aim for us, even a short-term goal when it comes to our giving. And so I'd encourage you to think about this step as a gift of 10%. But if you pray about it and decide that it's a gift of 5% or 8% or 11%, you do what you need to do. But the idea here is that I'm taking another step. This is another step in my growth. And for some, if we're honest, 10% isn't really a challenge or a faith step at all right? Especially if you've been doing it for a long time. But for many, it's a big step of faith. Like, if you've never done anything like this before, to incorporate this in your life, like, it's huge. It's a big step of faith, and I know that, all right, because I've lived that. That's a part of my story. And if you haven't heard this before, I didn't grow up giving, all right? My parents may have given, but it wasn't something that they taught us. And when Jenny and I got married, we didn't give regularly either. But then I got hired by a church to be a pastor for the first time back in 2000, and we realized we better start giving now. Like, if we're going to ask people to do this, then we probably actually need to do it as well. And so as a young couple hoping to start a family, we didn't have a lot of extra, but we, like some of you today, decided to become intentional givers. And so we went from giving nothing 1 week to giving 10% starting the next week, and it was hard for a while, and it was uncomfortable. And it took some adjusting, but while we started at 10%, and I say this humbly, over the last 24 years, we've grown and we've increased our giving a percentage at a time more and more, and I got no regrets. Looking back over my life and this journey, I can't imagine living any other way, and God has been so faithful to our family and blessed us in so many ways that I'm not sure that he would have blessed us if we weren't living this way. And if you've been doing the same, you understand what I mean and what I'm talking about when I say that. And it's not just us. Genesis Church is full of people that give and live this way, and I just want to say thank you to all of you, but thank you to those of you that do this, because we couldn't do the things that we're doing as a church right now if it weren't for your intentional, faithful giving. And so thank you for trusting Genesis, but most importantly, thank you for trusting Jesus with this very important part of your life. Last step, we won't talk about this long, is to become a surrender giver, and this is really the goal. Like, this is the aim, this is the desire that I believe that God, that Jesus has for every single one of us. Surrendered giving means that we're thinking about giving, our giving in light of the grace of God and ultimately the price that Jesus Christ paid with his life, and we're able to say then that everything that I have belongs to him, that it's not just about 10%, but it's all in play. 100% of what I have, everything that I have is a gift from God, and we don't own it, we enjoy it. And God does give to us for our enjoyment, and he gives to provide for our needs, and sometimes he provides in abundance, and sometimes he gives us just what we need, but he gives so that we can give. He gives so that we can be generous and share it, and that's the heart behind surrendered giving. And I know somebody here today is probably thinking, that's great in theory, But does anybody live like that? I mean, is anybody live like that at all? I'll just tell you that some of you are sitting in the same row with people today that live like this. We've got people here at Genesis that live this way. And it's not about giving a certain amount. It's not about what they make either. It's just a whole different way of seeing life and giving and the mission we've been given as followers of Jesus and as a church. And the Apostle Paul says, and he says it to you and me as well, he says, I want you to excel in the grace of giving. And he's only telling us that because that's what he learned from Jesus. And I pray that as he was praying this for the church in Corinth, that we will want this in our life too, that you will want this in your life, that we will want and desire to be obedient to Jesus in all things and to grow and excel in the grace of giving. And so what step might you be ready to take? Part of my prayer would be that for us this morning, that we would, that every single one of us would make a decision today. One of two decisions. I'm serious when I say this. The number one, that you'd be willing to at least make the decision, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to give. That's one of the decisions that you can make. I'm asking you not to ignore the conversation, but to consciously make a decision that I'm not going to do this, or to decide as the Lord leads you that I'm ready to take a step in my faith and in my journey as a first-time giver, a consistent giver, an intentional giver, or a surrendered giver. Jesus, his way is better, and it is best for us in all things, including the way we live and think about our money. All right, back to our text before we close. Let's wrap this up. Verse 8, Paul continues, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. The fear in Corinth was real. All right, just as we have our own fears and insecurities when it comes to money. But notice his promise that God will generously provide, and he will provide what we need, Paul says, but also so that we can share with others. Now, does this mean we get what we want? Or does this mean that we always get what we think we need? No, this isn't health and wealth. This isn't prosperity gospel stuff here. There's no guarantee that we get what we want or what we think we need or get it the way that we think we should. But there is a promise that God will provide, that he will provide for all our needs every time. And that means that he might provide for us in unexpected ways, which means I can't tell you how he's going to come through for you in your life right now, but I can promise that he will. And that he will take care of you, and that he will provide for what you need. And the more we trust him, the more we're going to see that growth, and we're going to see generosity extending from our lives, impacting our lives, but also, as Paul's going to say, impacting others. Because look at what he says beginning in verse 9. He says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts, Paul says, to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. How cool is that? Those are good words. Like for all of us, God says that he will increase our faith, he'll provide for our needs, and then he says, I'm going to, if you'll let me, I'm going to use your generosity to make an impact, a difference in this world, and people will thank God because of you. Or as we like to say at Genesis, there are people that are going to find their way back to God because of your generosity, because of the generosity of this church. Let me tell you something fun, I'll wrap. This Tuesday and Wednesday, our staff will be a part of something special that we've been doing for a handful of years now. And I wish you could all be a part of it, but for obvious reasons, you can't. But this Tuesday and Wednesday, our staff will visit several schools. I'm not going to tell you which ones. We'll talk about this next week. Between Noblesville and Carmel. And we're going to take breakfast into the break rooms of all of these schools. We're going to be there to greet and talk to teachers and administrators and cafeteria workers, anybody that works in the building. And in addition to breakfast, every worker in the building is going to get a thank you card from Genesis as well as a cash gift card. And when people ask us why, we're going to say thank you. And we love you, and we're grateful for you, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for serving our communities and for serving our students. Let me just give you a little bit of glimpse of what we've got in this. This event will range above $35,000 this week in the amount of food and gifts that we give away to all of these people. And I remember when we started this a few years ago, it wasn't my idea. I remember hesitating, thinking, who does that? And why would we do it? It has become one of my most favorite things that we do as a church. And why do we do it? Because we serve an unbelievably, incredibly generous, extremely generous God. And our prayer is that these gifts, that people won't just see Genesis Church, but we want them to see Jesus. We want them to encounter and have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And we couldn't do it. We couldn't do what we're going to do this week without your giving and your support, because every gift given makes this event possible. And so we'll tell you some stories next week. We'll share some pictures. If it goes as it's gone in the past, you may already hear about it even before we get here, because the Lord, we believe, is going to use it in some really powerful ways. But I want to invite you to pray with me about it right now and those gifts that are received. And so if you bow your head right now, we'll just pray together. God, we give you thanks and praise that we can do things like this, that we can live like this because of how you have lived. And most importantly, the gift of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the life and hope that we have in him. We are doing everything we can, Lord. It is our desire, because we believe it's your desire, to live differently in this world, that we are to live in this world, but not of this world, but you're using us to bring light and hope and change, and that through our generosity, by the means that you've provided, that we're able to give a gift of love and appreciation that we pray is going to impact people in some incredible ways. You've got men and women right now in mind that are going to receive these gifts. And for some of them, it's going to meet a very specific need. And we're grateful for that. And we pray that as they receive it, that they'll see you in it as an answer to their prayers, as an answer to their desires and their heart. Lord, we believe that you're gonna change some opinions about church in general and Christians through a generous act like this. And yes, I mean, Lord, we want people to see Genesis as a place where they can come and study Jesus and know Jesus, but even for other churches in our community that are doing a lot of the same things that we are, Lord, we just pray that it would open up their hearts and their minds to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe you're going to use these gifts for some of the teachers and workers in our schools right now that are following Jesus, and you're just going to use this just to open up the door for more conversations and prayers, and we want to see people find their way back to you. And so thank you that we get to do this week. Thank you for how you've provided. And we pray now that you would do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine through these gifts. And not for Genesis glory, but for your glory, Lord. We are here for you, and we thank you. We thank you that we get the chance not only to be generous in this community, but we get the chance to be generous beyond this community and places all over the world. We thank you. And Lord, I pray for all of us today, that we would desire to serve and to live for you in all things. This money thing's a big one. It impacts my life. It impacts all of our lives. But would you help us to trust you even with something like money, and show us the next steps to take? I thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you that we can be a church that talks about these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.